Luke chapter 18, as we look today, verses 31 through 43, physical sight versus spiritual sight. Why don't we pray? Father, how we thank you for this morning. Lord, we live in exciting days and exciting times in this world. Lord, exciting times at Calvary Chapel. But Lord, really, we have exciting times as your children every day of life. We never know, Lord, what you have lined up for us. And Lord, we know this, that unless we are in tune with you, we will miss it. And Lord, today as we look at physical sight versus spiritual sight, Lord, most of us in this room, if not all of us, have physical sight. But Lord, how we desperately need spiritual sight. Father, I pray that if there are any here today that have never had their eyes open to the truth of the gospel and your word, that today would be the day that the blind would see. And Lord, I pray for those of us in here that already know you, Lord, that if our eyes have been dulled by looking at things of the world or getting our eyes off of the kingdom, Lord, that this morning you would sharpen us. Lord, quicken us by your spirit. Refresh our eyes. Lord, do spiritual LASIK. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Spiritual versus physical sight in Luke. Guys, many times while Jesus walked on the earth, he ran into those who were blind and yet could see, and those who could see and yet were blind. Now, you might say, how is this possible? Well, guys, remember what we're dealing with today is two different types of sight. That is physical sight and spiritual sight. It is interesting. It is no different today. We have the same types of people. We have some that can see physically but are blind completely spiritually. And we have some that can see spiritually but are blind completely physically. And although most people don't think about the two kinds of sight, there definitely are two kinds of sight. And let me say this, guys. The kind of sight that God is the most concerned about here today is your spiritual sight. God wants your eyes to be open to the spiritual truth of his word. Again, for those that have never seen the Lord, your eyes to be open for the first time. For those of you that do see the Lord, maybe your eyes have grown a little bit dull. Maybe they've grown tired over time. Maybe you've grown a little bit lazy in your relationship with the Lord. And even as we said in the prayer, the Lord wants to do some spiritual LASIK today and get your eyes back where they need to be, back on him, back full 2020 on Jesus Christ. And again, seeing things in the spirit. One of the things that I've encouraged you guys to do always is to have your spiritual glasses on when you look at world events. It's so important. The rest of the world just sees, oh, these events, oh, these things happening. They don't understand what's going on. But we as God's children have our eyes opened and we see another dimension they don't. We not only see the physical manifestation, guys, we see behind the scenes in the spiritual. And that is what is so important to us and to the Lord. However, sadly, most people are concerned about their physical sight more than their spiritual. Again, not as much the believer, but those that are non-believers. And the reason is obvious, although not always evident to those that are spiritually blind. You see, if you can't see physically, you know there's a problem. You take care of it. Your eyes start going, you know, once I crossed 40, I'd been told it would happen. But I remember once I crossed 40, my eyes began to change. And for the longest time, I was in denial. Now, I still don't need glasses yet, but I can see that it's not going to be long. And I would begin to notice that things on the screen of the computer weren't as clear. I began to notice it was harder to read. And for the first time, I began to notice that in order to read something in front of my face, somebody else had to hold it. You know, what's this stuff all about? Why do I have to back the book up now? I don't, you know. Guys, it's because our eyes change and our spiritual sight changes. Our eyes begin to turn. They begin to go. If there's a problem, we go to the doctor because we see a physical problem. But when it comes to the spiritual realm, oftentimes we see these problems, or we don't see them rather, so we don't go to the spiritual doctor who is the Lord himself. If you don't know that you're blind, why would you go to the doctor? And if you don't know that maybe your spiritual eyesight is being dulled right now as a believer because of maybe the lifestyle you're in, or maybe not as close to the Lord as you used to be, you might not even realize you need to cry out. But guys, I want to encourage you, both groups need to cry out to the Lord today. Those who have never met the Lord or ever seen him, and those who do see him. And again, the only way those are going to cry out that have never seen the Lord is if he opens their eyes. And that is what we're going to see the Lord do for this man that we look at today. Now, how is spiritual blindness recognized and cured? It's only by the Holy Spirit. As God opens our eyes to the spiritual realm, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us, guys, that we have a veil that covers our eyes and that we can't see until that veil is taken away. And it goes on to say, the veil is taken away in Christ. What it means is this, you are born blind. Did you know that? Wow. And yet being born blind to the truth, the spiritual truth of God's word and the truths of the kingdom, God says, I want to remove that veil. You see, we have the physical sight, but not the spiritual. God removes the veil and it's taken away in Christ. When you give your life to the Lord, now you can see. It's like the blind man standing before the Sanhedrin that said, I don't know what happened, but once I was blind, now I see. Again, he was talking not only physically, but by the excitement in his voice and by the testimony later, we know it was spiritual as well. It was not only physical, it was also spiritual. Now, it is interesting, though, and we need to keep this in light before we get into the passage, that some of the blindest people spiritually are the ones who think that they can see the most. I have an article here from Scripps Howard News Service about a lady in Memphis, Tennessee. Well, let me just read it to you. Julie Dennis stood in the middle of the pasture, her hands clasped and her eyes closed. She wore blue sweats and black boots and a power bead bracelet on her wrist. Her lips moved, but no words came out as her body swayed gently. At times, she raised a palm toward these four horses in front of her, and she said she relayed messages to them telepathically, feeling their energy through meditation. It is her gift, she says. On this night, the mother horse was hesitant about talking. She just told me she might talk to me. And Dennis said, I got a maybe. The horses had some family issues, she said. And we're looking on healing those. The dog, Sammy, was angry and scared of going hungry again, stemming from the life on the streets before she was adopted. Dennis also told the owners. Probably Denise, but it looks like Dennis. She huddled with three curious horses that let her scratch their necks and pet them between their eyes. She said they've let her into the pack, which is the most relaxed they can be. Shelton has never had anyone communicate with her animals, but she heard about Denise from a friend. Denise is a 59-year-old animal healer, and she first felt her gift 6 years ago when a ladybug that had found its way into a high-rise building where she worked thanked her for setting it free. Soon after, she said she connected with a robin that she helped after a kid shot it with a BB gun. They had many talks in the meditation garden of her Memphis home. Some call her a pet psychic or horse whisperer, but Denise describes herself as a minister of peace. Her mission to help animals and humans understand one another better. She loves all animals, she said, but some, like mosquitoes, aren't at the top of her list. I talked to one mosquito once in the shower and said, if you'll stay off my body, you're okay. Denise gave up a career in social work to practice interspecies communication full-time. Her credentials include certificates for courses in healing touch for animals and animal communication. She charges $75 for house calls and sees patients in her pet shops, horse shows, and in her home, which cost about $60. So if you need some animal counsel. Guys, I do believe that animals can communicate to us in a degree. Our dog lets us know when they're hungry. Our horses, our animals can let us know they care. We let them know we care. But there's not this conversation in the spiritual realm that goes on between the two that is some supernatural event, as this woman thinks and as she presents and as she's making lots of money off of. But guys, again, here's an example of someone who thinks that their eyes are open spiritually, but are the most blind of all. Rather than seeing the spiritual connection she needs with the Lord, she thinks she can talk to the animals. I mean, it's kind of like a Mrs. Dr. Doolittle or something here. However, there are some who are the exact opposite in the world as well. They are the ones, no matter how much you show them and no matter how much you try to hammer it into their head, they just don't get it. They just don't see it. Again, I refer to an article out of World Net Daily on December 10th that says X-ray shows nail in man's skull. It goes like this. The next time you have a headache, you think just won't go away. Think about the pain lasting for 4 years. That's what happened to a South Korean man who had a nail embedded in his skull for that long, but was unaware of the source of the problem. Finally, the unnamed victim could take it no longer and went for a checkup, reports the London Mirror. He was amazed when doctors told him the cause of his agony. Hospital X-rays revealed a 2-inch nail stuck in his skull. The man reportedly said he couldn't remember how it got there, but later recalled banging his head at work near the time that the headaches began. It's a miracle he survived, the medic in Seoul commented. The nail was removed in surgery on Saturday. Guys, some people think they can see and they're blind as can be. Some people can't see at all, and when it's right in front of their face, even when it's hammered into their head, so to speak, they don't know what's going on. Guys, I don't know where you are today. If you're a true believer, your eyes have been opened and you can see. But if you're here today and you think you can see, but you don't see that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father, guys, I announce to you today that scripturally you're still blind. And those of you that have maybe had your friends hammer it in and hammer it in, and you just haven't paid attention, so much so you're starting to get a headache, leave me alone, you might say. And yet it's because they love you and because they care. And yet you still can't seem to grasp it and still can't seem to see it. We're going to see both types here today as we get into the passage. Look with me, if you will, at verse 31 of chapter 18. Listen what it says. Jesus, now the setting is, on his way up to Jerusalem to die, if you will, to go to the cross, his final journey to Jerusalem, the disciples traveling with him. And it says, then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon, and they will scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he will rise again. But they understood none of these things. Note that. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Guys, notice verse 31 first. Jesus took them aside, and he took them aside for special information. You see, this information the Lord was about to tell them was not for everyone. It was privileged information. And guys, note this. Still today, Jesus gives his followers privileged information by revealing things to them that not everyone can have revealed. God will tell you things as his child that the world cannot comprehend. They can't understand it. When you have your spiritual glasses on and you see world events and what's going on around the world, you can say, yes, I see this in scripture. I see this prophetically. I see where we are on the map to heaven, if you will, on the roadmap to the world coming to a close and the new one beginning in Jesus Christ. The world looks at it and they don't see it at all. They're completely blinded to it. It is privileged information. And the Lord has revealed to his children privileged information. Even as he's doing here, he does it for us. Jesus said the secrets of the kingdom are revealed to us, but the unbeliever will be left out. They will not see it. More will be given to those who have, the Lord said, and those who think they have, even what they have will be taken away. God reveals more to us as believers because we are his children. Now, it's interesting here. Notice, secondly, Jesus said all things written by the prophets concerning him would be accomplished. Again, they're in verse 31. Guys, that's interesting. You can rest assured that if the Bible says it, it is true and it will come to pass. The Lord is letting his disciples know. He pulls them aside and says, guys, listen, everything that the Bible has in it about me is true and it's all going to come to pass. Guys, that's something that we need to know as believers. The Lord is pulling maybe you aside today and saying, and maybe some of you are doubting the scriptures. Maybe you're doubting whether the Word of God is truly God's Word and is inerrant and flawless. And God is pulling you aside right now in spirit, even as he did the disciples that day, and saying, you know what? Everything that's been said about me is true. And everything that has been said is going to take place is going to happen. You can rest assured because it's in the scriptures. The prophets have said it. And by the way, guys, it's interesting here. Jesus validated the Old Testament and God's words through the prophets as legitimate right here. Validated. It all came to pass, proving it was true. And it's interesting, everything has been accurate 100% up till the time now. Guys, we have no need to doubt that it will be accurate 100% from this point on. We can rest assured that what the Word of God says is going to come to pass. And by the way, for those of you who need that further evidence, the Dead Sea Scrolls, which date some 300 years prior to Jesus Christ, that have been discovered and scrutinized and examined in great detail, guess what we found? Guys, the exact same scriptures that the Lord had in his day and that we have in our day are the exact same scriptures they had 300 years before the Lord's day. So when someone tells you that the Bible has been changed and the Bible has been altered, we have evidence now, guys, that date back 300 years before Christ that absolutely closes that possibility. Which means this, what you hold in your hands, you can rest assured, is what the prophets held in their hands. What Jesus and the disciples held in their hands, what the early church held in their hands, and that it is true today is the Word of God. That is reassuring, and I think we need to know that. Jesus not only revealing to them the secrets of the kingdom and what was going to happen to him, the guy's saying, you know what? The Word of God is true, and you can be sure that it's going to come to pass. But also notice that Jesus was well aware of what would happen to him in advance. Notice he says here, though, in verse 32, he says, I'll be delivered to the Gentiles, mocked, insulted, spit upon. They will scourge him, put him to death, and the third day he will rise again. Guys, he not only told them what was going to happen, he gave them great detail. That is always how prophecy will be. It will be revealed, but it will be revealed with great detail. Again, there are those who say that the Lord was taken by surprise when he went to the cross. They will say that he was captured without his will, that he did not want to go there, that it wasn't part of the plan, and that somehow the story was made up about his resurrection, and Christians have capitalized on it so they could create a religion. Okay, it's not so. Jesus Christ predicted with great detail his capture, death, and resurrection way before it ever happened. Now, his disciples didn't grasp it at this point. Again, in this area, they were spiritually blind. Their blinders were on. They weren't aware of it at this point, but the Lord was very aware of it. And he told them exactly what was going to happen. Again, notice in verse 34, but they understood none of these things. The saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Again, notice their spiritual blindness. Again, guys, you wonder, how plain could it be? However, when we are spiritually blind to something, only God can open the eyes. It's only the Lord. And if some of you here this morning, maybe you don't know Jesus Christ, maybe the veil is still over your eyes, maybe you're spiritually blind, it's not going to be a convincing argument that I give you from the pulpit. That's not what opens a man's eyes. It's going to be Jesus Christ. It's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit lifting the veil and then having someone there at that time to share with you the truth of the gospel. That's how it happens. Many of you in this room who know the Lord remember the day it happened. You remember the day the veil was taken away, and suddenly, instead of just being the Bible and just being religion, you had a relationship with Jesus Christ and you understood his word. Guys, my hope and desire is that that happens with some of you today. Now, it begs the question here, why were they so blind? Here were his disciples. Now, they weren't completely spiritually blind. Their eyes had been opened that he was the Lord and the one to follow, but they still had an area of spiritual blindness about him, about his life, about who he was. Now, guys, why is that? Well, I think there's probably more than one reason, but there's one I want to point out today, and that is he didn't fit their preconceived notions or views of what the Messiah would be like. Note that. They already had in their mind what they believed the Messiah would be like, what they believed God was like, what they believed was going to happen. Remember, the common teaching of the day is that when the Messiah came, he would take the world over. He would rule the world from Jerusalem. There wouldn't be this death on the cross, this resurrection, this thousands of years delay before his second coming. It was all going to happen right then. And guys, that was, well, if you will, nailed into their brain from youth. It was something that was right there that they knew the whole time, and yet they couldn't grasp it. They didn't really understand it. It didn't make sense to them, even though it was a part of their makeup and a part of their teaching and what they had learned. And so, again, they couldn't see it at this time. It couldn't fit their preconceived notion because of what they previously believed or been taught. And guys, what's my point and application for us? Here's the point. There are many today that are no different. They have their preconceived notions of what or who Jesus Christ was, what or who God is or God is like, and because of that, they base their belief system on it rather than basing their belief system on the scriptures. How many times have you talked to somebody who says this? Well, I think Jesus is this way, or I think God is that way, or I would never think that God would ever judge anyone, or I would never think that God would, how could this happen? Here's what I think God is like. You know what, guys? What we think about God and Jesus Christ doesn't change him one iota. It's only who he is. Jesus is who he is, and that will never change. Whether we like it, whether we agree with it, whether we understand it, it doesn't matter. He is the Lord. Our job is to find out what is he like, and it is found out by this right here. This is the only way that we find out what the Lord is like. There's no other way that we can find out. It's not by our personal views. It's not by our worldviews. Oftentimes we think, well, certainly God wouldn't do that because we think we wouldn't. But guys, we're not God. God is different from us. His ways are not our ways. It's interesting, when somebody is spiritually blinded and they have a preconceived notion of what the Lord is like, maybe their preconceived notion is that, well, certainly God's going to allow everyone in heaven because he's a God of love and he would never allow anyone to go to hell. By the way, God is a God of love and he doesn't send anyone to hell. Guys, God sent his son to the earth so that no one would go there. He's given the way out through Jesus Christ. He's put it on TV, radio, churches, street corners, everywhere. He's got people saying, you don't have to go there. Jesus Christ has given you a way out. So never let anyone say that God sends anyone there. We choose to go there ourselves. We have to get around him from TV, radio, people on the street, family, friends. We have to make an effort to get there. So don't ever think that. And yet at the same time, guys, we tend to think, because we don't understand who he is and how he works and our eyes are spiritually blinded, some tend to think that, you know, he couldn't be a certain way because that's not how I understand it. Remember, we've talked about it before. You can share with someone John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way and I am the truth and I am the life. And no one goes to the Father except by me. And because of people's preconceived notions that every religion will get in heaven, that everybody's going to get in, that there's not only one path, but all paths lead to God, which is not scripture, but man's viewpoint. Because that is so ingrained and preconceived in the hearts of mankind around the world. I have found that not just in America, around the world, when you share this scripture with them, it just does not compute. You mean to tell me that Jesus is the only way to heaven and that everybody in every other direction or every other spiritual path is deceived and lost? Guys, that is exactly what Jesus Christ said, which brings us to a crossroad. We have a choice to make. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was and that he told the truth? Or do we believe that he's a liar and he's the greatest deceiver that ever lived? When we make that decision, that will determine where we will spend eternity. And so it's amazing how those that eyes are blinded, you can say that. He's the only way. They can't see it. They'll say things like, that's your interpretation. That's the way you see it. That's your religious group. It has nothing to do with the religious group. It has nothing to do with my interpretation. Jesus very simply and plainly said, no one goes to the Father except by me. And now we have a choice to make. The problem is when the blinders are up, it just can't be seen. Now, again, we've mentioned this before. There are different Jesuses out there, guys. Every different group seems to have a Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? You talk to people that you know are in other religions and believe all kinds of bizarre things. And you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? You know what they typically say? Yes. My next question would have to be at that point, which one? The one that the scripture talks about or the one that your religion or group has talked about? Listen, you shouldn't believe in any Jesus that Calvary Chapel teaches if the Jesus that Calvary Chapel teaches is not the one in here, guys. I don't care what church it is. I don't care what pastor or what group it is. Jesus said this in John 7:38. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his heart will flow rivers of living water. Guys, it's not he who believes in me as that group says. He who believes in me as that group says. He who believes as any group says. It's as the scripture says. And Jesus validated what the scriptures were. No other book but the one you have in your hands. Guys, by the way, they had many of these other religions we have today, even in Jesus' day. And yet the only scriptures that Jesus validated was the ones you're holding in your hand. That is the word of God that we have today. That's where Jesus validated it here and in other places that we'll see as we get further along in the book of Luke. So the question to ask yourself or those around you is this: which Jesus do I believe in? Do I believe in the Jesus based on the scriptures or what I have been taught by others or what I personally believe because that's how I would do it? Or do I believe in the Jesus of the scriptures? And guys, there's only one way to, only one true Jesus. And so we better make sure we have the right one. We can't base our beliefs on Jesus about what we think or what we've been taught, but only on the scriptures. So what do we do for those who are blind spiritually? You say, great, now you've revealed to us that there are those who are blind spiritually. What do we do? Okay, it's the only way to minister to those who are blind spiritually is pray that God will open their eyes. There have been times that I've been talking to people one-on-one and sharing the Lord with them, and I can tell they just don't get it. I'll give very basic scriptures. No one goes to the Father except by me. Well, that just doesn't make sense, because what about all the... Okay, they're not seeing this. Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved. Well, I believe that all names and religions and their gods and it's all the same. And okay, they're not getting this. In the whole time, you need to be praying. And I would encourage you to do this quietly because if it's right there in front of them, they may think that's funny. But be praying. God, open their eyes. Open their eyes so they can see. I'm throwing out seed, but unless their eyes are open to see it, unless their heart is open to receive it, it's going to do no good. That doesn't mean you don't plant. You never know what's going in and maybe they're pretending. Pride is a powerful thing. And if the person across from you has pride that you just can't be right, I am. Maybe God has opened their eyes and maybe it is penetrating their heart, but they're not ever going to let you know it. Not on your life. And that is especially true with family and friends because they never want you to know that maybe they think, well, maybe you are right and maybe I am wrong. They'd never admit that. Guys, you let the Holy Spirit work. It's not a matter of you being right and them being wrong. It's a matter of God being right and all men being wrong. and it's only the men that come to Jesus Christ. This isn't an argument between man and man, woman and woman, people and people. It's not an argument at all. It's simply you are the ambassador of Christ bringing the message of the gospel, and they have a choice to receive it or a choice to reject it. We need to be praying that God will open their eyes even as they're talking. And so God will do that. God will be faithful to do it if we do that. Now we see the disciples, who you think would have their eyes open spiritually in every area and yet blind. That's the first category. But now we come to the second category, and that is a man who is physically blind, but oh, can he see spiritually? Look with me at verse 35. It says, "Then it happened that as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging." Now the interesting twist here again is the reversal. And notice he's sitting by the road begging. Guys, there wasn't much more a blind person could do in that day but sit by the road and beg. You couldn't walk around and beg very much. You'd fall. You couldn't see what you were doing. And yet you couldn't work. They didn't really typically have someone that was blind working. The Jews believed that if you were blind, it was a curse from God and not just a travesty of this fallen world. And so because of that, you were an outcast. And you would sit and you would beg. Well, this man was sitting and begging, but there's something I want you to notice about this man. His eyes, we're going to see, were spiritually open, and yet he was a helpless beggar. And let me bring this to modern day to us on the spirit realm. Guys, it's those of us that realize we are helpless beggars before God that have our eyes open to the spiritual realm. If we think we can do this on our own and that we've got this figured out and we can get to heaven our own way without Jesus Christ, we're a good enough person. Guys, we just don't get it. If we realize without Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, we are helpless and cannot enter the kingdom of God, and we need to cry out for his help, guys, that is when our eyes are open to see the truth. And that is the state and the place that this man was in. Notice it says, "And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked them what it meant. And so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now, this verse is loaded beyond what you would get just from the topical reading here or the initial reading. And that is this. Notice he immediately cried out to Jesus because he recognized his helplessness and his need, number one. Now, we've already mentioned that, guys. But again, if we don't recognize the helplessness and need that we have for Christ, we're not going to cry out at all. That's the first thing that has to take place, because all who can see spiritually will always recognize their helplessness and their need. Those who don't see spiritually will think they don't have a need, and they won't cry out at all. Maybe you've met people like this. They don't even think they have a need at all. "I'm doing fine. Glad it worked for you." Because this is the person that doesn't yet even recognize, oh, the need is real. The need is there. They are a blind person by the side of the road, if you will, on the wrong path. Not to the kingdom, and yet they don't see it. But they don't see the need. They don't know they have a need. See, that's why we pray and say, "God, open their eyes." And not only open their eyes, show them that they have a need. Show them that although they may have all of their life together, they may just be the sharpest person in the world, the best businessman, the greatest communicator, the greatest socialite, whatever it might be. And yet, Lord, they're lost. Open their eyes to the truth. They may even be spiritual. Guys, being spiritual does not mean you're saved. There's many spirits out there. But it's only the Spirit of God that leads to salvation. The false spirits lead to destruction. I believe that many of the spiritual movements that are out there are very real. And note this, have very real power. But it's not God's power. And it's not the power unto salvation in the eternal kingdom. And guys, that's the difference that we have to make in the midst of this. So this guy, he's got his act together. Notice, secondly, he realized who Jesus really was. He cries out to him, "Son of David." Guys, that was a messianic title. That's a fancy way of saying anybody that realized that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the promised Christ, the one who would die for the sins of the world and save mankind, anyone who realized he was the Messiah, the terminology scripturally was Son of David, because God promised David that his descendant would be the Messiah. So you see, this blind man was saying more than, "Hey, mister, hey, rabbi, hey, you who does miracles, help me." He was saying, "Hey, I recognize that you are the one sent from God from heaven to come down to this earth and save mankind. I recognize that, and I'm crying out to you because I need you." See, that's the kind of heart, guys, that receives Christ. That's the kind of heart that has the eye to see they need the Lord. And that's the kind of heart we all have to have if we're going to get into the kingdom. But notice, lastly, he cried out for mercy. Again, he realized that he needed God's mercy. When our eyes are open spiritually, we realize the need for mercy in the Lord. Notice here he goes on in verse 39. He says, "Then those who went before him warned him that he should be quiet." Note that. "But he cried out," I love this, "he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, Have mercy on me. Guys, I love this. Look, notice once our eyes are open spiritually and we begin to cry out for the Lord, there are going to be those around us who are going to say, you need to be quiet. Religion's a private thing. Don't try to push that stuff on everybody else. I'm glad it worked for you, but you need to be silent. Guys, that's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture teaches when we come to Christ that we're to be vocal. Jesus said, what you hear whispered in the ear, that is my personal teachings to you, either vocally and to now us by the Spirit. He said, shout from the rooftops. Now, that doesn't mean be obnoxious. It doesn't mean get in people's face at work and say, whether you want to hear this or not, here it comes. You know, there's almost a pride. Have you seen people in truth? My brothers and sisters, I've seen this. Oftentimes, there's almost a pride in the way it's shared, isn't there? I'm right. You're wrong. You better turn or you're going to burn. Have you seen those people? Guys, listen, I'm not making fun. I'm making a point. Let's guard our hearts that just because God, by his grace, by his mercy, has shown favor on us and opened our eyes to the truth, that doesn't mean that we can strut around and we're something special. It means that by God's grace, we are saved. And now we can reach out to others and say, you can be saved as well. So we don't get in their face and make our point and yell at them. Matter of fact, if they say to me, you know what? I really don't want to hear that anymore. I back off. Fine. I should remember when Jesus went over to the Gadarenes and the demoniacs came up and he cast the demoniacs out. Remember, the whole town came out and said, we don't want you here. Even though the Lord was moving in a great way, they said, you know what? We really don't want your kind here. We don't want to hear that. We don't want that. I'm glad it worked for you guys. We don't want you. What did Jesus do?
I'm coming anyway. Stand back.
The Bible says he got in the boat and left. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't go to people who don't want him initially because they don't know they need him. He'll go to all men. God, the Lord reaches out by the Holy Spirit to all, even those who say, I don't want him. He still goes and says, but I want you. So don't think he doesn't go after them. And those that were in Gadara, the Lord went after them. The Lord sent disciples there. The Lord himself sent people back into that region. They were reached. The point is this, is that when somebody is saying right to you, I do not want to hear it, please be quiet. At that point, guys, we honor that and we back off. The Bible says, don't throw pearls to swine. Now, again, not calling them names. That's not the point. The point is that if you take a swine, if you take a pig, they don't understand pearls. You get a nice pearl, you wrap it around them, and they wear it, and they mud, and it gets stomped, and it breaks, and everything. They don't even know what they're doing. Guys, the pearls in that example are the Word of God. The pearls that you have are beautiful pearls of eternal life. And if you begin to give them to people, I'm not talking about if they resist that you give up. You continue to pray. You continue to share as long as the door's open, okay? I'm saying when they say to you, I don't ever want to hear you say that again, back off. Now you pray. Say, well, you may not hear it, but you're going to see it for the rest of our lives because I'm going to live Christ in front of you the best I know how. And then the Holy Spirit will do the job. He'll do the work. So understand there's a balance there as to where this all plays out. I love this man because notice they warned him. There's going to be those that threaten you. You know, you shouldn't be sharing your faith. You need to be quiet. You can't do it. Remember Peter and John when they stood before the Sanhedrin. After they had healed the man, they were going into the temple to pray. They brought him in there and said, what is this you're preaching? You can never anymore preach in this name Jesus Christ. You can't use that word. By the way, this was the government in the day. And the government of the day cornered him and said, you can't say anything else about this Jesus Christ. You can't use his name. That's not politically correct. All religions are okay. So you can't use this exclusive name, Jesus Christ. I love what Peter said. Peter didn't get belligerent. He didn't get in their face and yell at them and say, well, I'll tell you something, you know, prideful. He said, you know what? Whether it's right before you to obey God or man, you decide. But we will obey God. And God has told us that we must speak the only way that man might be saved. And guys, that is why the persecution has turned up on the church as a society turns away from God, because the church will not be quiet. You see, we're the guy on the side of the road going, Son of David, have mercy on me and everybody else. And the rest of us are going, be quiet. We don't want to hear that. That's not right. That's intolerant. That's too narrow-minded, too exclusive. And yet we continue to cry out. And what happens is there becomes a wider and wider gap, and there's more and more aggression. Guys, that's exactly what's happened throughout church history, and that's exactly what's happening even in part today, even in the nation we live in. But I love it. He says, you know what? No, we're not going to stop. We're going to cry out even more, not be obnoxious, but we're going to speak the truth boldly in love because it's the only hope of man. So Jesus stood still, note that, and commanded him to be brought to him. When he had come near, he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now note this, guys, heartfelt prayer and cries for mercy will always get the Lord to stop and pay attention. I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't hear us when we pray and it's a casual prayer. I'm saying that if you want to shake the throne in heaven, guys, it needs to be a passionate prayer from the heart. Lord, I need you bad. Don't stop crying out. Cry out with all your heart and don't stop. No matter what you think or what anyone else tells you, continue to cry out. That's what this man did. And notice it stopped the Lord in his tracks. You know, the Bible says that God's eyes run to and fro throughout the face of the earth, seeking those who he may show himself strong through. Would you like God to show himself strong through you? Did you know he's got his little scanner up there in heaven going back and forth, the little lights, you know? He's looking, so to speak, something we can associate with. And all of a sudden, there's one. Now, God sees everyone. God knows everything. He doesn't, there's not some special thing we have to do. It's like we wait in line with our ticket. You know, we've got our little number. You know, we see our thing come along. Now I can pray to God. Okay, I'm number 32, 30. That's me. Okay, Lord, Father, I just want to ask that you would know. No, he always hears. But guys, I will say this. The heart that is crying out with all their heart, that scanner will stop and they get that attention from the Lord that they so desperately need. God stopped in his tracks. Jesus stopped. Although the crowd was moving, although this was just this man crying out. It's interesting here. James 5:16 says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And guys, I wonder, do our prayers get God's attention very often? He says, Lord, thank you for this food and we pray you bless it. And let me have a good day. Amen. Well, God knows you and he hears you and he's there. But is it, Lord, have mercy on me today, God. And I want to pray about this issue and that concern. And God, I need your help here. And Lord, you need to move in that way. Guys, that's the heartfelt prayer the Lord's looking for. He's looking for that passion, that relationship. Hey, it's no different husbands and wives than your spouse. You know, you want to talk, how was work today? That's the answer of most men, right? Grunt. I mean, what happened? It's good. Okay, what else? And the wives want details. Why do they want that? They want a relationship. Not that men don't want the relationship, but I believe God has wired the wives that way to draw the relationship out of the man. Now, some men are natural talkers. They'll talk your head off. But a lot of times it takes the woman to draw that out of him, you know, and you'll see the reverse from time to time. But there's got to be communication. Well, guys, there's got to be communication with the Lord. There's got to be that sharing. There's got to be that passion. There's got to be something there for there to be a relationship. And so, again, the Lord drawing it out. And notice he says, what would you want me to do for you? I love this. The Lord knew what the man wanted, but he made him talk to him. Note that. Guys, before you pray to the Lord, he knows what you want. He knows what you need. But he's going to wait till you ask. Why? Because he wants a relationship. He wants to communicate. He wants to talk. And sometimes that's the only way he can get us to talk, is when things go wrong in our life. It's like, finally, now we'll talk. Guys, the Lord allows these things so that we can develop that relationship. Notice he wanted him to vocalize what his need was. He wanted a communication. He wanted a relationship back and forth, not just give him a quick answer and it's done. And then Jesus said to him, he said, I want to receive my sight. In verse 42, Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has saved you. Notice the man believed that Jesus could and would answer. And because of that, he got his answer. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Guys, let me end with this. Notice the results here of what happened to this man's prayer of faith in Jesus. Number one, his prayer was answered. Number two, he became a follower of Jesus Christ. Number three, he began to glorify God. And lastly, he was a testimony to others. That is exactly what happens to everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. The question for us today as we finish up is this. Can you see spiritually? For those of you that know Jesus Christ, your eyes have already been opened, but maybe you do need some spiritual LASIK today. Maybe your eyes have become dulled. Maybe you've become a little cross-eyed or far-sighted or nearsighted. Maybe you just can't see as clearly spiritually anymore. Hey, ask the Lord during this prayer time to clear your eyesight up spiritually. Get me back in tune, Lord. Let me see the way I used to see. Let me see maybe in a way I've never seen before. But Lord, I need to see. Open my eyes. And I want to say this, if you're here and you've never had your eyes open, but today, the Lord has opened your eyes. For the first time, you realize that what this guy just said behind this pulpit is true. Not because this guy said it, but because God's word said it. And for the first time, you realize, I need to be saved. My eyes have been opened. I am helpless. I am needy. I need a Savior. Then, guys, my encouragement to you today is to cry out to the Lord, because God will be faithful to do it. And why don't we do just that? Why don't we pray and ask God to do that? Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this morning. And I thank you, Lord God, first of all, that for those in this room whose eyes have been opened, Lord, we can see spiritually. Lord, it's not a place of pride. It's not a place that somehow we're better than others. It is simply a place of your mercy and your grace. Lord, we deserve your judgment. And yet, Lord, by your grace, you have spared us and opened our eyes that we might know your Son and live with you eternally. But Lord, there are those here today that may not have their eyes opened yet. Lord, they may still be blinded. Lord, hearing things you say, even as disciples, but not understanding. Lord, I pray that you would make them today like this man at the side of the road. Lord, able to see spiritually. That you would open their eyes and they would realize that there is no other way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And today they have a decision to make. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would have them to ask you in their heart to believe that you died on the cross and resurrected. And Lord, that they will live forever with you if they make that decision. Lord, move in hearts right now for those who don't know you to cry out that they might see. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.